Aaron is being taken out and singled out from the people, but he's not being removed. He has to be one of the people. So he's one of them, but he's separated out of them to serve a purpose.
God's standard for how we are to serve him and how we are to model Christ authentically, a redemptive force in the community that we're a part of. Whether it's the community of faith, the neighborhood we live in, everywhere we go and everything we do. I remember the day I was driving home from work. Actually, I was coming home from the gym. And it was actually, I had this habit of going to the gym late at night because I didn't want to be around a bunch of people. My wife mocked me about that. But
gyms are nice when they're empty, though.
But
all the machines are yours. It's your
exactly.
gym.
Exactly. I don't have to worry about who's on the machine or if it's full of this.
Did they wipe it down afterwards? They got staph infection on it.
Yeah. Right. All of that stuff. So. But on my way home, it's late at night, and I'm rear-ended at a stoplight. Fortunately, it was a low-speed accident, no major damage done. But obviously, I'm frustrated.
Yeah.
And I pull over into a parking lot. The lady that hit me pulls in. I get out of my car, and she is in tears.
Wow.
And I walk up to the passenger side. I didn't want to walk up to her driver's side and scare her and all that. You know, 6'2", big black guy. It's late at night. So I walk up to the passenger side and she rolls her window down. The tears are just rolling down her face. And I can smell the alcohol wafted through the window. And I'm like, oh, so she's drunk. And she's probably been crying before she hit me because the way the makeup was looking.
Yeah, hey, this simmer.
Yes, this didn't just happen.
Yeah.
All right. And in that moment, you know, even though before that moment, I was like, she better have insurance. And, you know, I'm going through my litany of things that I'm going to go over here and make sure this is handled right now, you know. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit says, pray.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? You know, but it was clear as a bell. I just pray. And so I literally just asked her if I could pray for her. And she looked at me like almost in shock.
Yeah.
And then she said, yes. And I prayed with her. And the crying took on a whole different tone, a whole different thing. And I left it at that. At that point, I was like, my car's all right. I don't see anything. I'm going to leave this with her and God to work out whatever this was for her. I just was like, God bless you. I hope you're okay. Got back in my car and left. That was not the plan that I had when I got out the car.
Yeah.
But God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in those moments and moments like that, that I've had multiple times over the years, I've recognized this is him getting that sacrifice that he requires of me. All right, I'm going to do it like he said, do it, even if it's not what I want to do in my shell. I'm going to do what he says do because I want him to get the glory. There's something that he wants in this moment that only he and they know. And if I just allow him to do and express what he wants to express in this moment, I can be the extension of the Redeemer within and function and walk out that Christ in this life I'm interacting with. That is always, after the fact, amazing to me.
Yeah.
In the moment, it doesn't always feel good.
Well, and I think if you knew what the moment was before you got to the moment, that would be the difference too.
Right.
I mean, and you're very aware we have this concept. Our concept of darkness is different than the Christian concept of darkness. I'm not talking about evil. I'm not talking about wickedness, just this generic item called darkness. So for us, if it was a video game, it would say if you eat one unit or if you overcome one unit of darkness, you get 10 units of light out of it.
Right.
And so we look at moments like that when they pop up, if you have the wherewithal to understand what's happening as being God ordained, because when areas of darkness afflict our lives, if we handle it properly, light comes out of that. And in the New Testament, it would be said something like, bless them that curse you.
Right.
You know, pray for those that despitefully use you. Even Yeshua taught us, do the opposite of that bad thing that's taken place. And so that happens. And I think also if we can get out of the habit of just waking up and showing up places. And that's tough. There are times I have my brachot that I recite in the morning. It starts with Modei Ani, which is I give thanks to the King of Life who restores my soul to me daily. Mm-hmm. And even in that, I do it in Hebrew and English. I do it in Hebrew to do what I know I'm supposed to do. I do it in English because that's my native language. And I try desperately to make it a statement of worship. Mm-hmm. I try desperately to do that. There's another one I try. I do the Lord's Prayer as well, Our Father who's in Heaven prayer. There's another one I try to do that I'm not quite as successful on. I've had my good days and I've had my bad days. And this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it before going to work in the morning. That's a tough one. When I do it, it matters. Like when I say do it, not just recite it. I'm talking about you're stirring yourself up. Right. Yeah. You're looking to, especially days when I've got to get up super early and I'm not a morning person and I'm, you know, but rejoice in that day before the day takes place. And so the reason why these things are important is you get up in the morning. The very first thing you do is you're sanctifying the day before the Lord. You're praising the Lord as the one who has created the day, who has given you life fresh and anew, or as scripture says, his grace and mercies are new each day. And so then on the next one, and I know this may seem a little weird, but even after elimination in the morning, there's a blessing or a bracha for that. But it's trying to interject God as in many places in life as you possibly can. So then when you're on the road, and if you understand that I would say that nothing actually matters except for the way you respond. Because if a bad situation presents itself to you, attaches itself to you, but you have positioned yourself in his presence, or at least in the mental ascent of him in your life, then you own that moment. Mm-hmm. That's your moment. Somewhere inside of that moment is something worth having, whatever that may be. So in every unit of darkness is 10 units of light, if we handle it right. But if we can walk that way, and like I said, it's an exercise, just like not transgressing the law is an exercise. And thank God that I have a Redeemer. And thank God we have the Ruach that inspires us as well. That's been many a life-saving event in my life, quite literally. But there is a walk before the Lord that we command the day as the children of God, meaning things are still going to happen, but how we respond to them determine whether it is well with us or not. Now, my expectation, and I've been doing this for a little while, but not nearly long enough, my expectation is that over time, life changes. It just after. Now that I have witnessed that. I don't come home the way that I used to. I don't come home complaining about work. I don't come home talking about what the people did to me. My wife will ask me, how was your day? If it was a bad day, I'll be like, none of your business. And that's the end of that. That's the end of that conversation. What you want to eat, you know, and that moves on. If it's been a good day that I can say something good, then I'll share a bit with her for the day. But if there's any heaviness, it gets dealt within. I fight that battle. And when the day's worth of fighting is done, then I rest. But for me personally, it has made a huge difference in my life about even what kind of attitude I wake up in. I realize if I have a bad evening the night before, I'm probably not going to wake up in a good mood the next morning. And I realize there's something to be said to evening and morning were the first day. How you spend your evening directly impacts and drastically impacts how you start your next day. But all of these things, and think about the things that we spend time doing, watching TV, eating chips and salsa, just this kind of consumption type thing to get through the 3 hours between work and bedtime, or 4 hours or whatever it is. So then when you wake up the next morning, you've got nothing. You are literally starting that day brand new, as if you had just been born from a spiritual statement. You have your memories. You have your memories, you have the Lord, but now you're fighting the same things you've been fighting. At some point, there has to be momentum, victory within the context of a day. And one thing I've learned, and again, I just speak from a standpoint of what the Lord has told me and what I'm working on. I haven't mastered anything. There's a way to lay your head down at night. There's a way to pick it up in the morning. And I recognize if you lay it down the wrong way, you get to start all over again the next day. Doing stuff like this, in an evening, on a day, even the last week, I feel different the next day. That's a much better way I like the Dick Van Dyke Show because I like watching shows that don't make me think when I'm trying to go to bed. But this is still a better way of spending your evening than and the Mary Tyler Moore Show and MASH. That's my don't have to think about anything and just noise and fall asleep. But you're sewing back, you're sewing something back into your life. There's not a 8 hour a day job to walking with the Lord. And there's no end of it for us in sight. So every moment is capable. And I think that, and again, going back to Aaron, just the sanctification, we went through the sanctification of the tabernacle and the altar. And pretty soon we'll get to the laver, which is pretty interesting. But even the garments that he wears, the proper garments to come before the Holy of Holies, which is the Father. And he only got to do it once a year to come into that room. Right. But he gets to minister to the people. Moshe gets to talk to the Lord in time through the veil of the Holy of Holies. I say in time because right now I believe we're still at Moshe's on the outside when the Spirit fills it. Later it'll be the Spirit fills it, the Spirit goes out, then Moshe comes in and they kind of reverse course right there. But still a limitation. The thing is, Rav Shaul, he had some really harsh words and I can't quote them. And if I can be honest, I struggle with the Apostle Paul a little bit. He had some really harsh words about the veil and Moshe wearing the veil and talking about that, something that fades, but what you have never fades. We as a religious community, as a community of faith, we're not there. We're not there. To be able to rejoice and say the veil is gone, that from where most of us live, if I could be frank about it, the veil would be an upgrade. At least you know the Lord's on the other side of that, right. You know? That would be a pretty big up. And Paul comes along and is challenged us and making that look kind of bad, you know? What a limitation it was. And for me, so as much as the law taxes my heart, Rav Shaul was a problem for me. I'm respectful to him. Don't get me wrong. I don't say anything bad about him because I figure I'm going to meet him one day and I don't want to have to eat crow when I meet him about the things I said, but I struggle with Rav Shaul a little bit. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't want to make any enemies before I get there, you know?
Right. Well, I think that falls in alignment with many of the things that Yeshua said. Most of his standards were much higher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Much higher.
Yeah.
You know, he would say, you have heard it that, you know, the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Yeah. I say, turn the other cheek. You know, everything is, you know, you have read or you have heard. And well, yeah, that ain't good enough in the kingdom of heaven no more. Now this is the new standard, you know,
that's how I read it. The standard is harder in the New Testament than it was in the Old Testament.
Exactly. So it's like throughout the New Testament, the standards that Christ is talking about is that, you know, when Jesus starts talking to the disciples and telling them, you know, hey, you know, I know this is what the people are saying. Not here.
Yeah.
You know, we live on another level, you know, and it's just like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You have to really, you know, a lot of times, you know, as Christians, we have this, we see the suffering Christ, we see him on the cross, because that's the way we keep depicting him, even though he has victory over that. It came down off of that thing. But, you know, we depict him as this, you know, thin, frail Christ on the cross. And we don't realize that he was very controversial.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of do because of the way the people responded to him in the Bible, that obviously there was something going on about him that they didn't appreciate. But you don't get the why of it unless you get down there in the nitty gritty and you read the red print. Yeah. what he's saying and understand it in the context of what was written before he said it. And then it's like, oh, this is why they so mad. It's like all this time, what we were doing is good enough. Now you're telling us it's not good enough.
Yeah.
And we got to live at another standard. And this standard, you just telling this stuff like, oh, well now, you know, you got to forgive your neighbor and everything and love God and love everybody and not
love
just
your enemy.
Right. Yeah. Love your enemy. Turn the other cheek, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, and your neighbor is anybody in existence, by the way, including them folks that used to be not cool to talk to. Like, wait That's a nice. Minute. Hold on. Yeah. You're going too fast with this. If you think about that in the context of an actual contemporary society, that is extremely controversial. Yeah. That's a complete shift of the rules, a complete, you know, change of how we engage as a community, everything. So it almost comes as no surprise that people were upset. The surprising thing for us is that we don't recognize or view him that way light.
Because in the Old Testament, it was true due process of law. That where we're reading and studying now, you have them down here making the golden calf while Moshe's been up there. And at any time, God could have said, no, this is over with. I know he's it's not like he doesn't know what's going on, but he waits until it actually happens.
Right.
Instead of a preemptive strike, I know what's in your hearts. I know what you guys are working on. You've already got the gold together. You've already made the file. He waits till the very end of it. There was a movie about that where they would arrest you. They knew like who was going to commit a crime, and they would arrest you before you committed the crime. He waited till after the crime. Yeshua comes in and says, no, I'm dealing with it before it happens. Mm-hmm. Before the crime takes place, when it's a seed in your heart, that's a sin.
Right.
The Father was at least gracious enough to wait till we actually did the sin.
Right.
The Son came in and said, you've got to deal with it in your heart. It's not pleasing to the Lord.
Yeah, exactly. If you're thinking it, it's already, it used to be if you did some. Now, have you looked over there?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a completely different standard. So it's really remarkable, like I said, to me that in general, the faith community and the believers that I interact with on a regular basis often don't think of Christ in those terms, and they don't understand that our standard is higher. We have a higher standard of excellence, if it's a way of describing it, that is required of us in the way we live.
Yeah.
And that's what it means to be a citizen in the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we're supposed to be representing to each other in our homes, on our jobs, to those folks that cut you off in traffic.
Yeah.
for the record, we are recording this in Texas, where road rage is a real thing.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Road rage is like sneezing around. Oops, got another one. Right. Took out another one.
It's crazy. It's so, yeah.
But and on that, because we are striving, we are walking with the Lord, I think also it's sanctify them. Set them out. Exactly. And because I understand, like, I guess if to bring him lower makes me feel better about my sin, or rather than, I mean, I don't really know the logic in that of kind of the commonality of, I have an issue with Yeshua being Jesus. I have an issue with Yeshua having blonde hair and blue eyes. You've altered the image of the Savior to something you want him to be, rather than finding out what he is. And so instead of me becoming like him, I make him like me, and we cool now. We're good. We're brothers now. He's my boy now. That doesn't fly. To understand what he is in these garments, because this is the shadow. This is the type and shadow. Right. And the thing is, say, well, it's just a shadow. Yeah, but where there's a shadow, there's the object casting the shadow.
Right.
So this is the shadow of Yeshua, and this is the price that was put on the people. This is the price that was put on the high priest. This was the standard that would be met, or if not, we find a few pages forward, fire will consume them for not doing it, for doing it their way.
Right.
Yeah. And so the sanctification, I think, is a big one, because we're always going to be working on things. At least we should be. We should never give up on that. Understanding we will never meet the standard, but always trying and being incredibly grateful for that, the merit of what Yeshua did for covering us, that we can go to the Father. But the sanctification of the Father, the sanctification of the Son, it has to be there. The sanctification of your prayer time. Your prayer time is not nothing. Your time in the Word is not nothing. It's time you set apart, and you're a pretty high-ranking position within the context of Scripture, that those moments matter. So even that time is sanctified. And I can say, we'll wrap it up, but even for me in my Torah study, I can't hit the mark of every day at 6 o'clock, so I have a mark from between 6 and 8. I'm doing Torah study. I may get there at 7, I may get there at 6:30, I may get there at 7:30, but between 6 and 8. And the rabbis have a statement, and it's really the teachers of the Tanya, but they've strongly stress on setting up that kind of a structure. And then they give us the illusion, like, don't miss, because when you're not there, the Lord shows up and he's wanting to know, you know, where you are. He's right. He's out looking for you. But there is something that begins to change. And matter of fact, to one morning, I hadn't even recited Modeh Ani yet, and the Lord was already speaking to me about what I would be reading. Before I even got out of bed, it had hit me. And so there is something about sanctifying that time and having that time ready and not just showing up somewhere and not intuitively just going through life and whatever happens, happens. We have a bit of control over this, but we have to read the book right. We've got to read the book correctly, the book of life and the book of Torah.
Well, I want to, and there's something I want to share with you that, mm-hmm. you know, you telling us about that in Jewish thought, it really inspired me. Mm-hmm. And so I too have gotten into the habit of sanctifying my yeah. mornings, and it is blessing me.
Good.
I am, you know, the quality of the time of study that I'm spending with the Lord is significantly better and more impactful. He is definitely having lots of conversations with me. Yeah. and I know it's one of those things that as I study, whatever I study, interestingly enough, and I talk with other believers, I keep hearing the scriptures that he's taking me to come up in the conversations. Even tonight, I've heard, as you were talking about, and we will bring every thought into captivity unto Yeshua. That's one of the scriptures that I was studying in my time with him. Yeah. It's he's keeps confirming that word that it's like I say, it's amazing. The quality of
they become both. Prophetic moments, I think. Yeah, absolutely.
Really. And it's amazing. But I was inspired to do that by it. So I thank you for sharing that with us. And thank you for just as usual, always being a blessing to me. I appreciate it.